Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast, the official podcast of jaysjournal.com and fansided.com, where we discuss all things Toronto Blue Jays baseball. We'll talk about news, rumors, and game recaps. So whether you're a diehard fan or just getting started with the team, this is the podcast for you. Here's your host, Craig Borden, with co-hosts Jason Lyons and me, Ken Alfred. You're listening to the Jay Bird Watching Podcast.
Good evening, Blue Jays fans, and I'm just going to say this. How the hell are you? It's opening day, and I know it's been a hell of a roller coaster is to put the nice bow on it, I guess. So, Ken, how we doing, my friend?
I am doing well. It's nice to have the season started, and we already have five games already trying to talk about what's going on with the Jays. And like you said, roller coaster is an understatement. So looking forward to get more into
that. The biggest thing that I love about just baseball being back in general, there's that whole thing that I just get to come home after work, and guess what? I just have something I can watch every night, except for the random off day here and there, and I can just enjoy, hopefully, a good game. I am still one of the sick people that actually did watch the entire game last night.
Oh, you're one of the few.
There was okay. History that obviously we're going to get into, but I watched the pummeling, and then I watched the win before that. Then the other pummelings, and then the win before that.
Yep. So that's, you know, I think at this point we were chatting about, remember we made a reference a few episodes ago where like, well, who did the Jays piss off for the scheduling that turned out the way it was, that we had to fight a lot of the top notch teams within the first few series of it. So, I mean, my hope is that we're 50-50. I just want to split some series until we start getting some of the longer runway where we're playing some of the weaker teams just to build our confidence back up again, because it was hard to watch. It seems like when we lose, we really lose. But when we win, we really win. So
on that note, I think Jamie Campbell summed that up perfectly. He goes, well, we haven't had any close games yet so far this year, which was basically every game last year. And why don't we just take it from the top, Ken? You know, opening day. What an epic, like I said, hammering that the Blue Jays were able to put on the Tampa Bay Rays in the trap at the Juice Box. And it was just fun to watch this offense. And I think that was that mantra of what we saw this spring training. They're going to find ways to hit. And honestly, the best thing I might be seeing on the Blue Jays actual broadcast right now is Bo Bichette taking cuts in the batting cage with his neck stiff issue. We'll talk about that later because that's mission critical to this team, obviously, being good going forward. But that first game, how relieving did it see to see any of this offense just move into the actual regular season? And watching Vladdy hit a 450-foot bomb doesn't exactly hurt either.
Yeah, it was really refreshing. I knew that was one of the concerns that we all had from the beginning of the offseason thinking and the preseason was, you know, are the bats going to come alive? And it looks like they did on that first game where I think it was like three home runs we hit and stuff like that. And who hit the first one? Was it Kirk? Or was it, sorry, who was it the first one?
No, actually, now I'm slipping on my intellect. Springer.
Springer. Great start to that whole thing. So very happy that first game was like 8-2 or something like that. So it was nice to see that the pitching was able to keep them at bay. So very happy that first game.
And I think the flip side of the fact is that we did see Jose Barrios literally give the first batter he saw a home run. And I had that typical quasi Blue Jays thing of, oh my God, here we go. And
we just started.
And then thankfully, Jose Barrios turned around right into what we were expecting from him and looked phenomenal, Kenny. I think that was regardless of the offense, you do have, you know, Gausman started hurt. You know, he's only got one spring training start. Mm-hmm. So how does he keep going and progressing? You needed somebody like Barrios to come in on opening day and just find a way to make it happen. And Ken, I'm going to let you answer that while I bring in our third gentleman here because he's joining the party.
Hey,
what's up, fellas?
Hello, Jason. But yeah,
Kenny, Barrios, what did you think about Barrios on opening day?
Phenomenal. I mean, like, that's the Barrios we were looking at. And I know he was performing well at the last time before they pulled him. We're going to forget about that last season during the playoffs, just that whole thing where they pulled him when he was actually doing really well. And it's like he didn't miss a beat.
And Jason, we were just talking opening day baseball, as you are obviously, you know, post traffic jam or whatever you were up to here.
Yep. Right, so, back to it.
It's grind. Good to see you. Yeah. Hope the new job's treating you well, but we'll chat after.
I was also really inspired by Jose's first start too. Look good. Yeah. Look mean. Look lean. I like that they got him a slightly tighter jersey so he can show off the guns a little bit. That's good. A little flexy. But I mean, you know, it's been a bit of a crap storm these first couple of games, and it was nice to see a bit of a beachhead. We've seen a couple of them pitching wise from the Jays. So I mean, I think that, you know, I think we kind of discussed this, that it's, you know, it's going to be a bit of a hot mess at the start until we get some guys healthy and we get a few guys, you know, nailed down in their spots.
But to that point, we did touch on the offense piece, but it was basically the question before that, and I'll extend this one to you too, Jason, was how encouraging was it to at least see in that first game that maybe this offense actually does have something to cook with here? And we've seen that in a few other games here, but then we've also seen the exact complete opposite of that.
Well, let's just put yesterday aside, as I mean, that was awful. But
what yesterday? There was nothing
yesterday. I mean, you know, it's nice to see obviously guys hitting for power. It's obviously nice to see guys, even in the losses, moving guys around. The big thing for me, one of my biggest takeaways from that, from the Tampa series, is the Jays have to stop just letting teams run. I mean, it's a joke. They gave up 2 and 3. How many times? 6 times? 7 times? Like, Siri was walking to second base, and why do you try and pick him off for a second time? They're not even trying to get him out. I don't understand the theory at all behind that. You just give him a free base. Yep.
I also don't know, and I don't know if you guys caught that in that exact broadcast. Buck Martinez is sitting there going, okay, you throw over twice. Him, Jose Siri, and then Randy Arozarena, literally – soon as you came to that set on the what would have been the third pickoff, possibly, they just took off. They didn't even think about it. You had no risk of just rifling the ball over there. He was going to take the base anyway.
Yeah. You can't. You can't disengage the rubber on the third time. So the only thing that you can do
You can, but you have to get the guy out or he's awarded the base anyway. Well,
then try and get him out.
So there was no run.
Yeah. I mean, I just throw over there anyways. He's going to run.
Correct.
I mean, Arozarena was 75 feet off first base when he stole. Yep. I mean, he literally was holding hands with Kevin Biggio at 2.
Yeah. It was, I think that is something that the Blue Jays definitely have to work on. And then I don't know if you noticed this piece to those same equation though, Jason. I can't say they stole that off of Kirk.
No, but I will say this. My son is a catcher, and I will say that that Kirk's reaction time is not good. His arm accuracy is very good, and his arm strength is okay. So if you put those three things together, if you're a better than fast, like a normally fast or better than fast, you're just going to steal. Like, I mean, there's guys that are going to take that base. He's
unbelievably fast.
He is.
So not but shocked.
I would be interested 3 weeks from now to watch. He's so cocky and so unbelievably confident. I mean, I've never watched anybody look so unconfident but super confident in the outfield. Like, I mean, he missed that one. He almost missed 3 or 4 others with this little side thing. And it's like, you know what? I hope he starts getting smoked. Like, I hope he starts getting picked off by 15, 20 feet. And, you know, this guy can gain a little bit of humility. But it's, I mean, until that point... And it's funny how, you know, a guy like him, I've got no time for, but a guy like De La Cruz or, you know, any of the other Bobby Witt, like any of the other speedsters that are out there in the, and let's not, I don't know if you guys have been watching, but Bobby Witt might be the second coming of Babe Ruth. I don't know if you guys have seen it or not, but what he's doing this year and might Trout never might be matched. Mike
Trout again.
Yeah. I mean, if he can keep up even 3/4 of what he's doing right now, we could be looking at, one of the best offensive seasons from a major league player. Anyways, but
yeah,
Kirk's got to get
starting to see why Kansas City threw a giant brick of money in his lap this offseason yet.
But Kirky's got to get faster on his release. He knows that those guys are going on that second pitch. And I don't even mind it, rather than trying to pick him off the second time, why not try and back pick him? Like, Kirk's got a good arm to one. So rather than trying to then disengaging the mound again, throw a fastball, throw a 96 mile an hour fastball and throw back behind him. That's faster than trying to pick him off. And they're not expecting it. So I don't know. Just one man talking.
Kenny, what do you think of that all day?
I never really thought about the back pick though. Right. Because it's like, you see it on occasion, but I don't see it as often, but I think maybe that's a really good strategy that Jason's talking about, because if like you said, his reaction time to second is not as fast when someone's stealing, then maybe just try to get him at first without the pitcher just trying to pick him off. So just keep him on his toes, right? Just to show that respect. Just like, yeah, you don't keep running on me because I will catch you eventually.
Yep.
Yeah. And these are some of the things that I think this year we saw the evolution of the stolen base come back a little bit last year. Some of these stupid new rules, I think, are only going to expand on that. And the one I'm going to point to here in this whole equation is the fact that the second baseman, third baseman, whoever on that equation are not allowed to block the base anymore. So in those throwdowns, they have to do that weird sweep tag thing to get the person. You can't camp there with like how I was taught in Little League and kind of like be, you know, picking them both. Your feet are on a corner of the base. You know, the inner part of your foot is basically on one of the corners of the base. You're standing across it diagonally. So it's just a grab and go down. And then you can kind of like put your knee in front of somebody a little bit, right? Are you going to get spiked? Of course you're going to get spiked. You block the base. But now it's not even allowed to do that. So now you got this next piece to that puzzle, which is literally taking that blocking equation out of the thing. So now these base runners, they're stealing bases, can go straight to the base. That is less time to go from first to second in that equation because they can slide straight into it instead of having to, you know, Houdini their way in or do what Vladdy did and spring and swam into a base and things like that. I really would not be shocked. I'm not saying we're going to have the second coming of Ricky Henderson on any level, but I would not be shocked if stolen bases are up this season.
Oh, massively. I mean, you just look at Acuna last year, and he's not even the fastest guy out there. Like, I mean, I think there'll be 10, 15 guys that are in that 50 plus stolen base club this year, maybe more even. Yeah. And the other thing that you're going to see is you're going to see more guys stealing three, especially when there's a right-hand batter in the box. You know, it's if you're fast enough, the catcher has to get around a righty to try and make that throw to third. And it has to be a really good throw. Like, I mean, let's not split hairs here. I mean, 5 years ago, I don't think the athleticism and the speed was there. There might've been, you know, I don't know, five or six guys in the whole league that could challenge third base. I'd say there's more like 20 right now, maybe more even. And guys that are confident in it, guys that can get a good three moving four stride lead off second base. Cause I mean, what the old rules bred was that the pitcher didn't really have to check second base. Like, who's going to steal three? Like, come on. Like, what are we talking about here? But now, I mean, the reason that Cabrera got stolen, was able to get stolen on for third base, he didn't even look back. Like, he went into his motion, no look back. And if I'm a runner, as soon as I see his foot start to move, I realize that he's not going. And it's all the back foot. Lefties and righties, it's the back foot. Lefties is a little harder. You know, this is a little base running tip for all you kids out there. You know, you have to watch the back foot because the back foot has to disengage or it's a balk. So, I mean, if I'm standing behind him, I mean, it's even easier for me. Like, I take three strides, wait for him to take a look. He doesn't take a look. I take four. I'm already at the shortstop. So, I mean, what have I got to run? 25 feet, 30 feet, 40 feet maybe? I'll get there without even trying. And so,
then at that point, good luck, catcher.
Yeah, good luck, catcher. Exactly. Like, you've got to be so fast up and so accurate, and your guy at three has to get tagged down. I mean, I've always been a proponent in Little League of run. Let's let them try and get an out, right? Like, I mean, it's not easy for someone to catch a 90-mile-an-hour ball thrown from their catcher to them and get the tag down on three or even on two. I mean, the ball's looping. It's moving. It's tough. I mean, I always feel bad for catchers because they wear the goat horn, or it looks like it's their fault almost every time there's a stolen base, and it's not their fault.
I will not to beat a dead horse, but I think there's one other piece to that puzzle where you were going there a little bit. As far as the catcher goes, I wonder how much of this stuff, Jason, is going to actually flip us around on the whole one knee down framing bullshit. Because if a traditional catcher in a traditional crouch can pop quicker.
Yep.
Having that one knee down or being tilted over to the side, it's making more contortions to the point where you're like Bo Bichette's giant monster swing on his first two strikes and then the little compact one on his third, right?
Yeah.
So and it's just, I mean, too much going on.
Yeah. And they tried to change the catcher's position by allowing them to sort of do that one-legged heel stand and a few other ones. But I mean, my son can attest to this. Any catcher can attest to this. As soon as you don't have your central base, it's so hard to throw a guy out. And what? I mean, you're looking at some guys like Sal Perez or like, you know, there's been a few guys that could drop to their knees and throw a guy out without, you know, like really strong arm. Pudge Rodriguez, guys who you didn't run on because it didn't matter if they were sitting on their butt, they'd throw you out. But the newer athletes. I think
Pat Torres has the same job he had a few years ago. Just saying.
Yeah, I know. But you know, it's an evolution of the game, and you know, I think as traditionalists, we tend to poo-poo things a little too quickly. I think that everything will sort of regulate itself. Catchers will have to start getting stronger and they'll have to get more aggressive. You'll see more pitch outs. That's the other thing, which I don't like. I don't like a pitch out. I'd rather see, you know, a challenge pitch. But I mean, if a Rosarena is going to steal second and third every time, I'm going to pitch out on him a couple of times to try and get him, right? So,
and the Rays were running like mad in this series over the weekend. And then does anybody have a wild guess on how many stolen bases we have as Blue Jays fans so far?
Two?
Five?
None.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing one.
So, and our best batting average at the moment is .235 with JT and Vlad. So I'm just saying. But hey, it's first series. You can only take so much out of it. And to that point, I do think, if you look at the weekend in a collective fashion, there is a lot of good there. We did see the offense. We did see the fact that Ernie Clement appears to be legit. That's all I'm going to say. We did get great outings on the mound, but then we got some really stinkers on the mound. I don't know what was going wrong with Chris Bassitt the other day, but he said he couldn't locate to save his life is more or less kind of what it seemed like.
He was so close. I mean, he really was. He was so close, and he wasn't getting a lot of calls. And then I know, you know, like you go to the same for yesterday. Like, I mean, Bowden Francis, I mean, like, he didn't pitch poorly. He was just getting nickel and dimed by the home plate ump. And it seemed like I watched a good part of the game, and it seemed like to me, I can't remember, Blanco. Is that the pitcher? He was getting a lot. Like there was a couple he missed outside. And the only reason that he did is because he thought he threw a third strike and kicked his foot and went to walk to the thing. And the ump was like, you're not getting that spot anymore. You've lost that spot. But he was smart enough. And I think it's hilarious because pre-game and, you know, all of the stuff, Hazel May, everybody, you know, shout out to Sportsnet, shout out to all those guys and girls there. All they were talking about this guy was this guy's fastball. And what did he throw? Like 15 fastballs? That's it? Like he was junk.
His splits were 30% and 30-something percent change fastball, 30% changeup, and then 30% slider.
Yeah.
They said that they had to watch out for the slider all pregame. Is all they kept saying through the show.
Yeah.
Throughout that. And he didn't throw either of them.
No.
He threw changeups. And then he even just threw 2% curveballs just to throw a couple, just to really mess with people. I'm not shocked. That guy took the next step. And you saw it last night. That was not a fifth starter on most teams, right? That's a mid-tier guy. But this is his eighth start in Major League Baseball last night when Blanco starts and goes out and throws a no-hitter against the Blue Jays, who there's another gentleman in his dugout that's thrown two against us.
Yes, Verlander. Justin
Verlander.
Verlander, yeah.
And just in case you didn't know this, on the Blue Jays auction website, they are still selling game balls from that game. So if you're a Blue Jay fan and you want a Justin Verlander no hit ball that was in play that day, you can still buy that.
If you do want one, I just know you're not a good friend of mine.
No.
Right. And you're almost a Blue Jays fan. I think it's hilarious. Those are on sale on BlueJays.com, not Astros.com. Somebody in the Blue Jays marketing team needs to hurry up and send those things to Houston. Start selling them in the shop. I just think it's funny. That was one of those stupid things during our Christmas show that we always talk about, what random Blue Jay gifts you could get. And it's like, hey, just in case you want it, here's a Justin Verlander baseball.
Yeah. Sweet.
Nice.
But I can't say enough good things for Blanco pitching last night. The Blue Jays, obviously, I don't even know if you can say they didn't show up. But the thing that honestly irked me the most about that whole situation is they weren't taking pitches either. He threw 105 pitches through 9 innings. He almost Maddoxed us. And if he got George Springer out in that last at bat that Springer was in, where he got his second walk of the game, he would have been under 100 pitches.
Yeah.
Which is, in all terms, a Greg Maddox.
Yeah.
He repeatedly threw complete games under 100 pitches. Go ahead, Ken.
No, I just was wondering if we were swinging with the wrong end of the bat, because we just could not hit anything, you know, that yesterday. So
did you watch it, Kenny?
I tried not to watch too much of it once I saw the score. I was like, ooh, that's tough.
That sweeper or whatever it was that he was throwing, it wasn't that it was unhittable. I felt like the Jays were, after about the fourth inning, they were just like, I gotta jump on something here. And he realized that, and he was like, well, I can just keep throwing this to the outside against the righties, and they're all going to swing at it, and they all did. I mean, Vladdy looked like he'd never seen that pitch before in his life. And when you don't have Bo in the lineup, thank goodness he's going to be in the lineup. It says his neck soreness, and, you know, we should find out what hotel they stayed in so they can burn the beds so they don't ever have to use them again. But
clearly it was not a Holiday Inn Express.
No, it was probably a La Quinta. But that being said, I mean, there was a lot of swing and miss. And the lefties were doing better. They were at least getting the bat on ball. But, you know, down to the end there, like, who was that? Was that Biggio that clipped the one at the end where the guy that almost got through and they made the play for the last out? You know, it wasn't a good effort. Kevin Kiermaier looked like he'd sat out a game. You know, they looked tired. And when you got a guy who's rolling, like, maybe try a bunt. Like, I mean, what are we talking about here? Like,
early in the game, can't do it after the seventh. I think that's illegal. That should be a written rule in baseball.
Yeah, but
automatic fine.
Let George Springer's been running well. Let him bunt.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know either.
But hey, it is what it is. I'm just hoping that they come out swinging against Framel Valdez tonight, right? So
yeah,
they got to do something tonight. They got to put up or shut up. A little bit here is, otherwise everybody's just gonna be like, oh, you got no hit. And if they get one hit tonight, it's only gonna continue that this offense, and you're gonna hear nothing but crying. So
yeah.
But Valdez is on the hill tonight against Jose Berríos in his second start. I'm looking forward to seeing him, and we'll see what happens. But the Major League Baseball, I don't know if you guys have been looking at the landscape in general. The MLB's a little odd right now.
Yeah, not a little, a lot. Like, it's all kinds of stuff is crazy going on.
Yeah. Well, just case in point, last night was the Astros' first win. They did not take one game at all against the Yankees.
Yeah.
So
how about the
first one yesterday?
What was the Dodgers' stat that their top three were 8-14 and they still lost 6-5? You know, like.
They're playing the only team in Major League Baseball that would have beat them that night.
Yeah.
That's all I remember seeing.
It's a little nutty.
To speak of the Dodgers, have you seen that Teoscar Hernandez is on absolute fire for that lineup? And are you shocked when the people can get on in front of him like that?
No.
It's just how it works, right?
Yeah.
It's nice to see some of the Blue Jays guys.
He's always been good at that.
I believe even after today, the Milwaukee Brewers are still undefeated.
That's awesome. Hmm. They fire sailed and they're undefeated. That's so good.
Yeah. Well, they're investing in their youth. They actually have some really talented young players on that team. So I'm not shocked, but it is still putting all your eggs in one basket. And I take that back. They won last night, but they're undefeated. It's just like the fact that the Yankees are still 5-0-2, that one shocked me a little bit, especially when we were seeing some of their spring training games.
They
were a little flat.
Aren't the Pittsburgh Pirates undefeated as well?
I think you might be right.
Yeah,
I know they're doing really good. For some reason, I felt like they lost.
Nope,
they're 5-0 too.
5-0, yep.
Well, after that first game for the Jays, I was almost going to send you guys a message, say, all right, let's get the parade ready.
Kenny's all over it.
You know it.
But it's interesting. And the fact that the Orioles only won a couple of games too, correct?
Well, they're getting smashed. I mean, they got smashed around by the Royals. I mean, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah, like, they're 3-1 and they're losing to the Royals right now too.
Yeah, I mean the Royals are on fuego. Like, I mean, good Lord.
Yeah. Just to put your Bobby Witt Jr. fire out, he's 0-for-3 tonight.
Well, 2 strikeouts. Yeah, but let's look at his line. I mean, he's played 4 games this year.
425.
Yeah, he's got 16 at bats. He's got 6 home runs.
Already?
No. Where I lost it.
He's got 8 hits. He's hitting 500.
Bobby Witt Jr.'s got 2 home runs. Yes, 8 hits. But the fact he's scored that 5 runs already.
Yeah. It's crazy. Nuts.
So that's what they need. Yeah. They need somebody to come into that lineup and right the ship a little bit. So,
and I mean, I don't know if you guys, Perez. I don't know if you, Sal Perez looks great. He looks like he's 25, but he's not. He's a big ball. I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but also on the pregame before the last Jays game, they highlighted IKF. And one of the things they highlighted was that he had pitched 5 times already in his career. And then all of a sudden, he's back in.
He's out there.
I was like, why don't you predict Vladdy to hit? You know, why don't you talk about the time that he hit 3 home runs then before every game if you've got that Kreskin ability to make that happen? Like,
Yeah. And then here, the best part is he's got more innings pitched than Mitch White right now.
Yo.
I'm just kidding. No, I take that back. I was looking at the raw. He's got more innings pitched right now than Yimi Garcia. Yimi Garcia has only pitched 2/3 of an inning. Chad Green's got a 1 inning, just like IKF, and they only each one have 1 walk, but Chad Green's given up a run so far.
Yeah.
You can't write this stuff.
Nope, you cannot.
I will say that we got to talk about the one big thing that's going on for the Blue Jays was the fact that apparently the rivals lit with the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yeah,
the littlest shove of all things that go to places and everything, but Genesis Cabrera gets in fisticuffs or moderate pushing and shoving.
No, it was a push, and it was a good one too, because that, and I have no idea. And my favorite part is Bo Bichette is standing there. And I imagine Bo knows a little bit of Spanish, but whatever was said to Cabrera, the second thing that he said, you could actually see Bo go like he raises his eyebrows, and then Cabrera right in the throat. It was awesome. And my favorite was like after that, Cal Blue, whoever it was, from the Rays. He's standing there just like dumbfounded, like, what?
Did that just happened?
Yeah, it was great.
To your point, I didn't know what was said, but it initially looked like, you know, they just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. You know, like he overran the bag where he could have, you know, slow running stop. Cabrera was sitting there and they bumped into each other. And instead of it being like quick grab to make sure each other don't fall over kind of thing, it turned into the, what the fuck are you doing?
Yes. And I imagine the second thing that was said was not nice.
Yeah. No, it was that something happened there. Cabrera did mention that he probably did overreact to the situation in an interview after the fact, but he is now going to serve a 3-game suspension.
I thought it got shortened.
Did it get shortened on the 2?
I thought it got shortened. Hold on.
I thought they said it didn't.
Breaking news. This is breaking news here, people. Let's test how fast the internet is.
So while you're doing that, Blue Jays fans, 2. I see you plenty of in the room here. If you want to talk to us, drop 2. Your messages in the comments while Jason is clearly digging for the headline here.
Two
games. Okay, so he's out tonight, then he's out tomorrow, then back. Didn't they bring somebody up for that? Or do they have to suspend without a
in-place? I don't know if you're allowed to bring somebody up when you get a – I guess you should be able to when you get a suspension.
I didn't see any transaction alerts.
No. Sit 2 games tonight. appealing the decision.
Because the appeal went through.
I don't see any roster move.
Yeah.
But I think that's why part of the reason why they left Bowden Francis out there to fritter last night is they were concerned about throwing anybody else out there to burn innings, especially if they knew Cabrera was going to be out next game. Right. So, yeah. I mean, I hate to see that. Like, I hate to see Francis out there, but I mean, he did have what, 7 strikeouts or 6 strikeouts, and he didn't look that bad, you know, just unlucky.
It was just ups and downs.
Well, he threw bad that pitches for good guys. Yeah. You know, like, you can't hang him against Diaz. He's going to put him into the seats, you know, and you know, who would have ever thought that the catcher would have, I mean, you know, I don't think he's gone 3 for 3 in his whole career. So, and 2 of them, I mean, the total fairness of those 2 balls was maybe 4 inches combined, you know, I will say this. How about the play that the ball boy made in Tampa Bay, the diving play? That was pretty awesome, actually.
I almost was going to use that as our blooper tonight, but I found something more fun.
Great.
I got to just mention this as it came up in the Twitter feed. So we were talking about possibly bringing somebody else. Obviously, they're trying to lengthen Yariel Rodriguez or Yarod. But he pitched 4 innings and struck out 6 people with no earned runs and no hits today for the Buffalo Bisons in what ended up being a 0-0 game through all 9 innings in the what is 0-degree temperature basically here in Rochester, New York, Buffalo area. And yeah, extra innings finally won that one out for the Bisons. But he looked stellar, and I highly recommend anybody going looking at the amazing, ridiculous two-seaming action he has on some of these pitches that are on the X feeds and stuff like that right now. So very cool to see. So right now we talked Bowden Francis. He had a very, very up and down start. If Yarod keeps doing something like this in his next couple starts as he lengthens out at the minor league level, I don't think Francis shows up for this next start that he's going to get and does what he did to get.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And survives another start. But I do think there was enough reason there to give him that other start. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, and it's disappointing what a short lead he might be on. But, you know, he to me, at points, he really looked like he was lacking confidence, and you could see that he was missing his spots, like where Kirk was putting the glove, he wasn't throwing the ball to. And I mean, it doesn't matter if you're 9 or 99. If you don't throw the ball to where the catcher wants it, you're going to get mashed. And, you know, he seemed to get frustrated after that second home run, and you just can't. And I understand it's his first start and he's a youngish guy, but you've got to learn how to roll. Like, have you ever watched a guy hit a home run off Justin Verlander or Max Scherzer? Yeah, they don't even look. They don't even look over their shoulder. They're like, yeah, I know that's gone. Give me another ball, please. You know, I'm going to get this guy out. You know, like, and that's what you have to do. You know, the reason that I have this, I don't know if you guys have ever seen this. You see I have a goldfish on my wrist. It comes from, so I made a deal with my one son that if we went to the provincials, I would get this tattoo because I used to draw a goldfish on his wrist. So I don't know if you've ever watched Ted Lasso, but one of the things Ted says to the players is, yeah, what's the happiest animal on the planet? And none of them know. And he says it's a goldfish because it has a 10-second memory. So the best pitchers in the world are goldfish. They can make a mistake.
Pretty good, actually.
And whoop. So, you know, be a goldfish.
I'll see you one fish joke to another. Just keep swimming. Yep. Just keep swimming.
Does look a bit. Yep. Does look a bit. Yeah. Got a bit of Finding Nemo there.
Yeah, no, I didn't notice you had that, but that's perfect because that's exactly what it is. And honestly, baseball players in general need that one. It's not just pitchers because the game can change in a win and you never know what's going to happen. And even the greatest hitters of all time, and I've said this before, the best of the best, the top tier of the Baseball Hall of Fame are the only players in baseball history that are successful at getting hit one third of the time.
Yeah. And one of the, we trained a bit with Brandon Geyer last year, former guardian Brandon Geyer, really nice guy, did a really good job mentally with the kids. And one of the things he sent out to us was a little sticker about the size of a quarter that you're supposed to put above the grip on your bat that just says breathe. That's it. Just that simple of a thing. Mm-hmm. And he was showing us that, like, guys like Aaron Judge has a B that he gets on his bats above his grip. And all that is so the last thing he looks at is, you know, remember to breathe, because you get up there and, you know, you tighten your sphincter and you're trying to hit a 96 mile an hour cutter, and you gotta be relaxed and you know, and breathe. The Jays need to breathe.
Yeah. And I don't think they're having that problem yet. It's only five games in. We'll see how the rest of the things go here tonight at 8 o'clock. Which the game's gonna start here in a few minutes.
Yeah,
fine. To that about point, to sit we always down and watch. Yes, we've always had maybe it's because my family before me, you know, everybody was football players. So my dad, uncles, grandparents, all that, football players. It was always the no brains, no headache. So this thing, this is for show. Just go up there and hit the bat, hit the ball. So, but on that note, like I said, we talked where we were the first half of the show here. So we obviously are now 2-3. We're still playing the Houston Astros, who won their first game of the season, are 1-4. And we have Berríos versus Valdez tonight. So let's talk where we go with the rest of this series. And then I believe we have an off day on Thursday, and then we have to be in New York to finish up this road trip for the weekend, which right now is not looking like a fun time.
Nope.
So,
nope.
Kenny, you've been mentioning you want to see us 500 at the end of this road trip. I'm wondering if we're only going to win one in New York. So to get to your 500 level, we got to start winning some of these games here at the Minute Maid ballpark in Houston.
Yeah. I mean, like, the fact that Houston lost all the games before that no hitter doesn't lead well to us at this point. But I think at this point, I think we're going to probably be a little pissed off about that no hitter. I think we are going to come out guns and blazing on this one to actually at least make some better contact on the baseball. So, you know, I think we got to jump on them, because I don't want that little bit of momentum that they got from the no hitter to carry the rest of the series. We got to jump on Houston. There's a reason why they lost four games first, right? We got to try to get it back to that. And then hopefully from that, from New York, it's going to be a tough one. You know, maybe we just have to get, we have to Nancy Kerrigan, some of the Yankees there, and then we should be all right.
Why?
I thought you were gonna go like full eye of the Bill Murray from Caddyshack. You know, you just cut his Achilles heel right here, and he'll never play golf again.
Play golf again. Yeah, I mean, you know, a 5-0 Yankees team is gonna be it's gonna be a bit of a monster. But I mean, they've got the Diamondbacks to deal with twice before they get to the Jays. And as we've seen, that Diamondback team can really beat on you. They can really wear you down. And I mean, I guess the hope is maybe they lose one or two or else they come in undefeated, or that they've only lost one and they're all fat and sassy, and the Jays can maybe lay a couple on them. I didn't look ahead.
It's really what it comes down to.
Yeah. At who's pitching. But I mean, it's the Jays are fully capable of getting out of this slump. If we can call it a slump, but I mean, I feel like we just need, like, today is going to be a good telltale game. I mean, the Houston's obviously a good team. Like, I mean, they seem to always be a good team. But you know, you've got to get out of this. You got to get out of this little stretch. And once you're through it, then, you know, you can start to look forward, you know, into the middle of April, where things sort of lighten up a little bit for the Jays. But there's no free rides anymore. Like, I mean, who's not good in the majors? Oh, I know who isn't. Colorado. They're awful. Other than that, everybody seems to be okay. Did you guys watch Colorado the other night, last night against the Cubs?
It's pretty bad.
Yeah. It's worse than bad. I mean, sure, I don't know if I've seen a cutter work that well ever. I mean, he was throwing ridiculous. He was even surprising himself. They would swing at them and he would like make a face like, I've never done that before. but then, you know, like that routine ground ball that the left fielder misses, the center fielder then overthrows the shortstop and it goes all the way to the it's like, come on. Like, it's comical how bad they are. But, you know.
So I don't know. This will give you the wonderful review of everything going on here. And I'm going to have more Chris Bryant front for us at the end of the show, who, funny enough, everybody forgets, was actually the first time he was ineligible for the Major League Baseball draft. He was actually drafted by these Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah.
He unfortunately decided to stay in school, kid.
Yeah.
And he came back 2 years later for the draft, became a Cubby. So Chris Bryant is admitted on TV, live interview, that he wishes when he signed there, he did better looking at the prospect talent for the Colorado Rockies. Because there isn't that high-end guy.
Well, they also...
It's not the Orioles. It's not the what you're seeing with the Brewers. You're not getting that high-end talent in the minor league system. It's not there to come up and help him. And I'm not, you can't beat everybody at once, right?
They let a lot of guys go, too. Like, they let a lot of guys pass through. They made a lot of brutal trades. Like, starting with Troy Tulowitzki, they got nothing in return for him. And, if you're going to try and be a bottom feeder like the A's, then you've got to draft better. And they don't draft well. At least the A's draft kids and, they do really well at signing guys that may not be the cream of the crop, but they're good enough to get the job done for a 50 win season. So everyone doesn't give up on you, but it's one of those things where it's like, you can be so bad for so long. Like, let's not split hairs. Arizona wasn't very good up to a year and a half ago, even. And
they, to your point, found the Pete Carrolls or the Corbin Carrolls, and everybody else like that. They found a way to reshape that minor league system and then ran with it.
Yeah.
And then you bring in the Lourdes Gurriel Juniors and other guys.
Gabby Moreno and
Zach Gallen, who's pitching against the Yankees tonight. Right.
Yep.
So that guy's in something.
Yeah.
And he was actually my sleeper pick for a Cy Young in the National League this year. So there you go. But to that point, there's just all these reasons to where you're going, Jason. What do you do? Maybe they do find a way to get over that hurdle. But like I said, I got more Chris Bryant fun for us later here in the show before we wrap up. And Ken, anytime you said you might have to leave early, go ahead and do what you got to do to let us know. So we have this to look forward to. The nice thing we are going to get with the Yankee series, we're not going to just get Barrios in that series, but we're going to get Goss in that series too. So the Yankees are going to have to deal with the best we have to offer on the hill for that series. So I think it's going to bode well as far as the pitching matchup goes. You're talking a guy that, they had Nestor Cortes start opening day for the Yankees. And right now, get great. Marcus Stroman had a good outing. The offense is clearly running with that on this team. So we'll see if that holds up over the next few days as we see Vladdy ground out again.
We have a hit.
So is what it is. Yeah. But Bo's in the box. So all is well, at least. Right. So my brother was freaking out as I drafted him and Vladdy for our fantasy baseball team. And I'm like, it's okay. We drafted Mike Trout. Don't worry about them too. Seventh or eighth pick, I think I was our Mike Trout. I'm like, how the fuck am I not going to take him? He's an MVP. He's the best hitter in baseball if he's healthy. So, to that point, so is there anything else you guys noticed from the collective weekend here that we had that we're hoping that'll keep going, or what you're hoping to see in the remaining games this week with the Astros and going into the weekend here with the New York Yankees?
Well, obviously a hit. A hit would be nice.
All
joking aside.
Bo Bichette, just got it. This is the first hit in the game.
All you needed. That's all you need. All you need is Bo. I would like them to see is I want a 9-inning effort. That's what I want to see from the game tonight. I want an effort from the first inning all the way through the ninth, and I want a good result. Win, lose, or draw, effort all the way through. And I want that to continue. I want the management to realize that the guys that are playing hard right now, they have to stay in. And if that offends, the good graces of a Kevin Kiermaier or someone else, then you have to do that at the start of the year. I mean, the two options that we're looking at right now, or you forge through with these guys, or there's guys who are seriously being shopped right now. Like, there's teams that are struggling. There's teams that need players. So, Is it good for Ernie Clement to be playing as well as he is right now? Maybe not. Maybe he becomes a really easy to trade piece where you can pull some pitching back. You know, David Schneider. I mean, he's a very tradable piece.
Schneider.
That you know, that you could get good value back. And Espinal has always been that. And I think Biggio goes into that as well.
Espinal's gone.
I was about to say, didn't we get rid of Espinal?
Yeah, he's gone. That's right.
He's now a Cincinnati Red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Biggio doesn't fall into that. Biggio falls into that sort of slot as well, you know, where he's a very tradable asset right now. And, you know, it's not too far to be able to find somebody who the Jays could find, you know, a good pitcher for the middle of their rotation, or a good long reliever or something. I mean, you know, it's killing us right now that they don't have anybody in those long relief spots. Tim Mesa looked good. I got to give him that. But he always looks good. I like Tim Mesa.
Well, and to your injury update, Romano's been throwing a bullpen, so he's gonna possibly be back in the. If you're putting about where people usually are in that time frame where they're just starting to throw bullpens, you're talking next week, probably late. Ballpark,
yeah.
And that's assuming he doesn't go to Buffalo, and
we haven't really needed a closer yet. I mean,
no,
we haven't. Not with a blowout or a get blown out.
Yeah, right. Yeah. No, I mean, there's been no closers, so you know,
no opportunities.
Yeah. So before Kenny runs off here, I actually, you know, I made up our picks the clickboard here.
Okay. Oh, no.
Ooh, it's back.
You should have just called it Kenny wins. I was thinking about
Jason and just let it casually go. And then we didn't get a pick from Kenny this week. But Kenny, you're the reigning champion. So go. Who do you think over the next week? And I think are we basically on par for Tuesdays now? Is that what we're at shooting?
I think so. I think it's
Tuesdays.
Okay.
We'll talk about it after
our media here.
Yes.
So, Kenny, who do you think is going to have the best performance in Blue Jay baseball over the next week?
For some reason,
count tonight's guys too.
Yeah, I think Turner's actually going to do it. I was really impressed with that game he had where he drove in four runs. I just think he's starting to get comfortable as a Jay, so I'm thinking he's going to probably perform well over the next few days.
Yeah, there you go. Jason.
I'm going to try and start things off right, and I am going to go with George Springer.
He's doing really well.
This celebrating his 10th anniversary today in Major League Baseball, George Springer.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yep, this was the day he got called up back when with the team. He's ironically playing tonight.
Yes.
So,
Okay, Greg, who are you picking?
I'm going to just be this guy because I'm looking at probably the worst stat sheet right now in the planet of just continuing to shit on Dalton Varsho.
You're calling Varsho?
Just pointing out there, we're through five games right now in Major League Baseball for most teams. It's 4 or 5. Blue Jays playing their fifth right now. This is Lourdes Gurriel's line heading into tonight. 4 games. He's batting .471, 3 home runs, 10 RBIs. Dalton Varsho. That was 5th game. No home runs, no RBIs, batting .133. So I'm going to hope that I'm reversing what I'm looking at here, as I'm seeing as an omen, and I'm going to pick Dalton Varsho.
All right.
It was just on the screen. I'm going with it.
Go with it. Stand by your choice. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. So, and do we want to pick a wild card for our guest spot so that they can start trying to score with us right off the bat this year instead of being behind? Now that if we're going to go with Tuesday nights, I'll try to schedule more guests, obviously.
All right. If we're going to do that, do we just go like way off the map, or do we kind of hopefully inject some offense? Like, I mean, we can go with the safe one and go with Bo.
Yeah. How about we do this? In tonight's lineup, who has the lowest batting average of the team? And then we'll just pick that person as a default person.
Kiermaier?
You know what I mean? So if we have this no guest thing going on in a few weeks, we look at the lineup for that night. Whoever had the lowest batting average is automatically the pick. Assuming we didn't pick them. Then you just go up a guy.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Then we're not. It's cold. It's calculated. It's literally math.
Okay.
So right now that would be Double K and Kevin Kiermaier batting .083.
All right.
Is one hit. There, so Double K is the guest spot pick for hopefully what we'll have carried over, keep them some wins. So Kenny, if you gotta go.
All right. I gotta jump.
We'll talk to you soon and we'll see you
see
Tuesday.
You later, guys.
Peace out, buddy.
Blue Jays fans. Bye. Kelly Gruber.
Kelly Gruber. So Jason, Is there anything you would like to talk in, seeing Kenny got the 15-minute head start on you? Now you have 15 minutes to talk. And you're not gonna have the interview here.
I think that, you know, one of the things that like I said, I feel like the first three games exploited a lot of the little things the Jays aren't doing well. One of them being holding runners on, and you know, I think I can't wait for Danny Jansen to come back. I think that Danny imparts, you know, not only a bat, but a good arm. I wouldn't mind seeing, I'm hoping that they can get the backup catcher in, sit to Severin.
Severin.
A couple of times, you know, I'd like to see him get some run. I mean, I don't mind having Kirk hit in the DH spot. You know, mm-hmm. Justin Turner has now proved that he can play. Like, he doesn't look out of place on the field. He actually looked pretty good at third base, which is, I mean, that is huge, by the way. Because
I'll raise you one that Ernie Clement actually looked really good in left field for the couple of hits that he had.
Well, and the shortstop. Holy, that one play, he made it short. Unbelievable. And
honestly, at third, did you see he had the Derek Jeter jump throw thing in the third base?
Didn't he? two days. But I mean, defensively, they are not challenged right now. Defensively, they seem to be good. They're making plays. When they need to make a play, they're making a play. And, you know, so I think that's, you know, that's been a super positive thing. Again, I mean, where they're going to go is where the pitching goes and where the offense goes, as that's baseball, pretty obvious. But like you said, like, I mean, it's we have to start getting some more full efforts. We have to start getting some more, you know, when they do get runners on, like they were doing in spring training, they have to take advantage of it. And they have to realize that they have to put the pedal down and start getting some wins. Like, I mean, you know, I don't know that anybody has particularly stood out as being, you know, amazing so far. You know, again, it really is telltale that, you know, that Bo can take a couple games off and come right back and get a hit in his first, you know, like I said earlier, I really feel like Bo Bichette is attempting to separate himself from the pack of shortstops that are out there in the majors. I think he wants to be considered in the top five for sure. And maybe in the top two or three. I feel like with a good defensive season this year, he never has to worry about his bat. But the defensive stuff seems to have really come around, where he really looks calm and cool moving to the ball. His throws are much more controlled. I mean, I don't know if that's just standing beside Justin Turner for, you know, for a lot of spring training and watching how smooth he is and you know, how he doesn't let the ball play him. And, I mean, I think that's going to be a major thing going forwards is, you know, our defense is super solid. And we have to make sure that when we do get good pitching outings, that we really take advantage of it. And when we don't, we still have to try and hit. We can't go into the dugout when we're not pitching well and just be like, we're going to lose. You're not going to win them all. Yeah, right. Like, I mean, go out and hit a home run. Go out and get on base.
I don't know if that attitude's that. I felt that way a little bit last year. I think there's enough new guys that are young and hungry in this locker room that are going to keep them going on. The Davis Schneiders, the Ernie Clements, and so on and so forth. And the fact that I've just seen Kevin Biggio looks like he's hungry this year and motivated enough to keep going. I don't think that's going to be the pressing problem going forward here. Right now, I think a couple games they got beat, they ran into legitimately good hit. Pitching, right? And obviously last night that was the perfect storm of that. They need to find, I'm hoping what they find over the next week is consistency a little bit. That is my main goal. Try, you know, when you don't have the home run available, like with just watching Justin Turner, what he did the one game against the Rays, he didn't need that home run to look have a good game. He was having a good game riding and driving runs around and doing what he did. So that, in my opinion, that right there is the mantra for the Blue Jays. If they want to win consistently, they need to find a way just to keep the wheel moving around the bases.
100%. 100%.
Take a step out of my Buffalo Bills mantra here. Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills has always been a weird slogan that we've always had. And that's what the Blue Jays need to do here. They just find a way around the pillows, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's not... You know, it doesn't have to be difficult. I mean, you can small ball. And, you know, we were watching the Rays, you know, play really good small ball. And you know, the Jays are talented enough and fast enough and all these other things to really be able to do that to a lot of teams. They just have to make sure that they take advantage of the situations that they're presented with. And I mean, it's a big deal. So it's, you know, it's going to be bring your lunchbox for a bit, and you're really going to have to come and work hard. And that's where, you know, that's where a guy like Ernie Clement and some of these other guys should really shine, is that they are lunch pail guys. And, you know, last year when we needed them, they came through, and, you know, you can only hope that the same thing happens this year, that if they get into it a little bit here, that those guys can just turn things around for them and show them that effort can win games and all this other stuff. So it's important, you know, it's important right now to get good efforts in. And, you know, if things aren't working, to be able to maybe go to the, you know, go to your farm team and pull a couple guys up and see what does work.
Yeah. And speaking of eventually pulling somebody up, I don't know if you've heard yet, but Joey Votto has resumed baseball activities for the Blue Jays. He's more or less fielding ground balls, hitting off the tee, all that kind of good stuff from his foot injury during the spring training after he hit him. Oh, sorry, before he mashed his first home run of the season on his first pitch.
Yeah.
So I'm still interested to see if he can actually indeed still bang like he says he can. But to that point, he's going to probably be scheduled for that, you know, minor league rehab, shit or get off the pot kind of like contract that he's on right now to get the majors.
Yeah.
So right now you got Vogey that's probably maybe holding a seat for him, but he's also has the potential to turn into something good. It'll be interesting to see where that piece goes over the next few weeks. But I also don't know if he'll go to Buffalo or if he'll just mash baseballs in the Florida State League with the Dunedin Blue Jays, for example, because it's fucking cold in Buffalo. Just saying.
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. Like the Vogelback thing is something where, you know, he seems to be, you know, they seem to be having a lot of fun in the dugout with him and things like that. But I mean, he's not an effective baseball
player. Not a hit.
Like, I mean, he's seems like a good dude, but I think you're right. I think he's place holding for Votto. And if he doesn't get hits, then he's got to realize that, that he's not built to have two or three more years in the majors. He's either going to get cut or he's going to get sent down, and then you make your decision to do what you want to do.
Or he all of a sudden becomes Big Poppy and starts just dropping tanks and clutch situations. But I don't see
that. I don't think he's that good of a hitter. I wish he was. I wish he was that good of a hitter, but I don't think he is.
Yeah. That's the high that you would hope for. But like I said, I think you're right. It's destined to be Votto's spot. And I think you need him in that veteran presence to handle some of these ups and downs like we're already talking about. And that leads me to my useless trivia note for this evening. So do you know outside? So right now, the only current player on the Cincinnati Reds that is their third highest paid player, the only one that's actually on their roster, is Yomir Candelario.
Oh, really?
He's making $15 million a year. Do you know who the other two people that are still being paid by the Cincinnati Reds are?
I would assume it's Joey Votto and Bobby Bonilla. No, Bobby Bonilla is being paid by who? The Mets or something?
The Mets.
It's another. Oh, is it Ken Griffey, isn't it? Isn't it Ken Griffey Jr.?
It is 100% Ken Griffey Jr. Ken Griffey Jr. is still the highest paid Cincinnati Red.
Crazy.
That's what you get for bringing him back to his hometown right there. Yeah. So, and to that point, they put up with him and Larkin on that team. They put up a good fight for a long time there. It's just
they did.
Griffey didn't last.
They were Garbo, though.
Yeah, there is that. So, anyway, you want to end the show with our normal goofing off that we do here?
Yeah.
Or at least our new normal, anyway, of goofing off.
Yeah.
I found a old Major League Baseball thing with our Chris Bryant jokes earlier of him getting punked for a change.
Is this the one where
Greggy Maddux?
Yeah.
So this was at a time where obviously Chris Bryant was the shit basically for the Chicago Cubs, fresh off a World Series win. But the year that he came up to the majors, he was playing these kind of games with everybody the year that the Cubs finally won a World Series. And he shows up thinking he's just going to hit some, tanks here from off of BP for the Red Bull commercials who were sponsoring him at the time. That's who this video is from. And they one up him and put freaking Greg Maddux in makeup here and everything. It looked like their camera guy. And then he starts dropping dimes on.
I've seen it. It's a really good. And this is when like sort of these were really popular. They had the couple of the basketball ones, a couple of the baseball ones were, you know, they had guys dress up in their, you know, and then go and embarrass people. And there's nothing quite like the humility that, that, an, you know, a sage veteran can bring to a situation. you know, it's good fun.
Who was the basketball player that they ended up making a movie with? It was it Uncle Drew, but who was the?
Yeah, it was Uncle Drew. I can't remember who the player was. It wasn't Kyrie Irving, was it?
Yeah, I think it might have been Kyrie Irving. I know Reggie Miller in the movie was dressed up like one of the guys, and honestly, that was a hysterical sports movie. If you haven't seen that one,
yeah, I think I've seen that. I think I've seen most of it.
Yeah. But to that point, okay, oh no, the regular guy's got to go back to class. He's seeing it out. So now this is when Maddox comes in and starts, go ahead, take my stuff. And Chris Bryant's like afraid of him. He's like, I don't want to do anything with somebody that doesn't know how to pitch because he's afraid he's going to get clunked, right? Yeah. And oh, that was actually not too bad. And then you don't see him square up a ball here for like 3 minutes, basically.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing.
Because Maddox is dropping curveball after curveball after curveball. but then the end of the show here, let's get to the end because that's where the funny part is.
and this is all in kin with all of that Jackass stuff too. They were doing tons of that when this was going on.
So he was trying to hit one Oppo Taco because Maddox dared him. He goes, I'm going to throw you one outside. Here you go. Drop it. So he's like,
pretty good.
At one point he asked him if he could get his bat. And he goes, hey, by the way, can you sign it? Make it out to Greg Maddox.
So good. So good.
And then here's the reveal where you get the Hall of Fame pitcher of, of pitchers of the 1990s, early 2000s, right?
Greg still had a pretty good forehead tan there. He must have been golfing a lot.
There you go. There's the golf shot.
He looks like an accountant. one of the best pitchers of all time, and he looks like he would do your taxes in between innings, work for H&R Block in the offseason.
And speaking of that, I got to hurry up and do my damn taxes, but that's besides the point. I just thought it was hysterical. And there was one other stupid thing, as I made the Maddox joke earlier. You've seen the meme online of it. I paid Greg Maddox to paint my house, and all he did was duck
corners. Yeah. A good one. Yeah.
So good deal. Jason, anything else you want to shout out or anything you talk about here at the end of the show?
Not a thing, buddy. I think we're good to go.
Tapped out. So, okay, Blue Jays fans, I'm going to be putting up another post here. I'm altering our contest on TikTok, so make sure you hit over to TikTok and do the follow. But we're only going to do one bigger handout where I'm going to upgrade the prizes on the wheel that will be sent out at the beginning of every month. So if you tune into the first Friday of the month, this week being the first one that will do that, on the Pack Rips on Friday nights, we will announce the winner out of the people that follow us on TikTok, and we're trying to race to 1,000 so we can push this out live to everybody on TikTok as well. So make sure you head over to our TikTok, type in J Bird Watching Podcast or at Bird Watching GC, just like it says up here above me, and give us a follow and you're automatically entered. Pick somebody at random every contest time and you might have some fun.
You may have some fun.
Yeah. So worst case scenario, you get to talk baseball with us and join us in the chat. So there's only so much you get to lose on that. So on that note, we'll be live Tuesdays, apparently at 7 or 8 p.m. We'll figure that part out going forward. But to that point, Blue Jays fans, if you miss us on the live shows, make sure you find us wherever you get your podcasting pleasures. We are everywhere. The official podcast of jaysjournal.com, part of the Fan Side Network. And we'll see you soon. Let's go, Blue Jays. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Woo! Let's go, Blue Jays.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.